Okay, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 3. We're looking at another part of the life of John the Baptist. Luke chapter 3, we're going to read verse 1 and then jump down to verse 19. Alright, here we go. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea and of the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias the tetrarch of Abilene. And then verse 2 mentions the high priest. But jump down to verse 19. But Herod the tetrarch being reproved by him for Herodias his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. So we'll begin right there looking at the life of John the Baptist. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the examples and the truths in your word. Help us as we, Lord, teach and look into these things, that it would encourage us in our Christian life. In Jesus' name, amen. So we read verse 1. There's a lot of history here. And I researched the Herods, because there's a whole bunch of them, and to be honest, I got a little mixed up. I think I got it sorted out now. But Herod the Great was in charge, and then he left the region to his sons. And so a tetrarch is actually a ruler over one quarter of the region. So when we jump down to verse 19, that's what a tetrarch is. He's a ruler of one quarter of the region there. It says, but Herod the Tetrarch. You go back to verse 1, he was the Tetrarch of Galilee. And so the last part of the verse says, Lysanias the Tetrarch of Abilene. So that was another portion of Herod the Great's kingdom. So Tiberius Caesar is reigning at the time over all the things. So here we have Herod the Tetrarch in verse 20 or 19 and 20, throwing John into prison. So we want to look at John being thrown into prison today, and get some applications for our Christian life. So if you're an alliteration person, I'm not very good at that. Sometimes it's distracting to me. But we've already done the background of John the Baptist. We did the biography of John the Baptist, the birth, then the beginnings. Then several weeks ago we did the baptizing. Then we did behold, when he talked about behold the Lamb of God. So today would be the binding, where John the Baptist is thrown into prison. So the public ministry of John the Baptist ends abruptly. He's going around and he's preaching, making many disciples, pointing people to Christ. And because he's preaching, he gets thrown into prison. And we see why in verse 19. Herod the Tetrarch being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. He had taken his brother's wife and married. And so John was a bold man and said, that's sinful. That's not what God says to do. Just this last week, I was with someone, and we got on the subject of where we went to church. And they actually didn't go to church, but they had their ideas. And so when they would ask me a question, I would say, no, is that based on something that you've come to a conclusion with your own observations and intellect, or did you get that from the Book of Mormon? And they said, well, yeah, I haven't even read the Book of Mormon. It's just things that I've added up in my head, that why would God do this and that? And I said, yeah, that's probably why we're different, because we're actually asking the Bible, what does God have to say? I'm going to heaven because I'm a Christian, I'm saved, not because I'm a Baptist. A Baptist is just an identification that says, I believe certain things, and one of them is that the Bible is the sole authority. Amen. That even the pastor gets up, he's subject to the Bible, and if he ever, I was going to do the books of the Bible, the next book was, and this will fit our lesson nicely so we can keep going here, 1 Timothy talks about the order in the church. And if people would just read the Bible, they wouldn't go to some churches, right? Because the Bible says the pastor is supposed to be these things. And it's flying in the face of what God said. It's not about I'm a Baptist and this is the way we do it. It's about this is the Bible and this is what we do as Baptists. Right? So 1 Timothy is the order of the church. It talks about the women in the church, their duties that they can do. It talks about the pastor of the church. It talks about the deacons in the church. And sometimes we get this idea, kind of like this lady, that, well, you know, they're just trying to be nice and they've kind of figured things out and they're happy with it. But that's not what God said to do. So we go back to John the Baptist, and he was just telling Herod what God said. It wasn't Herod and John the Baptist talking and John saying, yeah, I don't really like that. No, he was saying, God said this is sinful. Well, Herod, probably like most of us, it's human nature when we're given power. If we don't stay humble and keep ourselves, that power, it corrupts us. And Herod's like, well, I'm the king. Who are you, Mr. Preacher, to tell me what to do? Go throw that guy in jail. And that's all John was doing his job, right? So, it ends abruptly. It was an outrageous injustice. Why? Because he was just doing what he was supposed to do. But people like Herod Antipas, they're sinful, and we can't expect them to obey the Bible, although they need to hear it, right? So they rule in a very wicked manner, and we can look at history many times. Now, history might be boring to some of us, but there's a lot to learn. It tells us a lot about ourselves so that we don't make the same mistakes. But if we continue on here, John, if we can put ourselves in his shoes, and maybe even in the way that we live in our society, I'm just a truck driver, right? But I can put myself in John's shoes, right? How many times do bad things happen to good people? You're just trying to do right. And then, you know, somebody wicked or somebody bitter, right? They get bitter. And then they're mad at God, so they take it out on you because you're just trying to do right. You're not trying to be Pious Pete. But because you're trying to do the right thing, that they're bitter. And they're just mad at God, so they're mad at you. One time I was working for FedEx, and a guy came to me, and he's like, you guys lost my box in Ohio. It cost $80,000. And I'm like, what? I didn't do that. But what were they doing? I'm wearing the shirt, right? It says FedEx, and they don't want to talk to the phone tree and try to find out. But I'm representing FedEx, so they take it out on me. I'm like, you know what, sir? I'm sorry that happened. And if you trace that down, you could probably take care of it. I'm just the delivery driver, and I didn't lose it. Right? And I say that in comparison to Christianity. People are mad at God, and so you walk up to the door, hi, and they spew cuss words at you. Well, they're not mad. They don't even know you. Why are they mad at you? They're not mad at you. They're mad at God. Right? Because you're trying to do God's work. Right? So here's John the Baptist just trying to do God's work. And Herod doesn't like that. He's the ruler. He's the tetrarch of Galilee. How dare he? So he gets in prison. But we're looking at the life of John the Baptist. Be John the Baptist for a minute. He's called. It's a miracle birth. Here he comes. Behold the Lamb of God. He gets to baptize Christ. And boy, what an honor, right? And John keeps the right frame of mind last week, or a couple weeks ago now. He must increase. Jesus must increase. I must decrease. Right? So he's doing all of these things, and along comes the evil, right? The bad thing happens to the good guy. And maybe I'm kind of a melancholy. I see these big things happen. Boy, five people got baptized. Yeah, that was great. I like being part of a church that God's doing something. And then I'm getting up to pray. I'm like, uh-oh, it's going to come. It's going to come, isn't it? Somebody's going to come and go, and disrupt the service, or something's going to happen. Because it can't be good all the time, right? Maybe that's just my human nature, lack of faith. But, you know, you start doing something, and God starts to do something, then the devil fights. Yeah. And so sometimes we have to look at that way. When the devil fights, that's kind of encouraging to me.
Yes.
Because that means we're a threat, right? We're doing something for God. So when the devil starts to fight, we don't like that. We don't like the things that happen and what we have to do with. But that's okay. We have to look at trials in the right frame of mind. And that's mainly, if you wanted to have a theme for the lesson, that's what we're going to talk about as we go through the rest of this. You know what? Sometimes we get taken out of... John was taken out of man's sight, but he was not out of God's sight. His prison put him in a place where he wasn't able to be the preacher out there where he had many disciples. But you know what? He was in prison with other prisoners. He was able to reach those. But you know what? God has a plan. God has a plan for all this. No. He was in prison because he spoke out against Herod's sins. Let's turn over to Mark chapter 16. Mark 6, verse 17. Mark 6, verse 17. That is a... What's my other one? Part 2. Okay, good. Mark 6, verse 17. So we have, "For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, It's not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly." You know, that's, stop there. That's interesting. I've had people, I've been in work situations where I was trying to do the right thing. I worked in a warehouse, right? And they would blast the music. And so I went and I got headphones so I could listen to music. I mean, because that music, that rock music, you might not like it, but there's a power to that. And boy, it got in my head. And I wouldn't go around humming it or anything, but you'd be in the store. But even to this day, I can be in a store. All I have to hear is a couple notes. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that song from that warehouse. And it's not good. So I finally, I got promoted to driving a forklift. Well, now I can't wear my earbuds. And so I'm like, well, I'll just put up with it. Finally, it got to be a point where I'm like, I got to be done with this. This music is just getting in my head. I don't have to have this job. So I went to my boss and I said, hey, I need to turn in my 2 weeks, okay? And he goes, well, why? Yeah, like I wanted to own that. Because, see, you know I'm a Christian, and I don't want to make this an issue, okay? I'm not trying to be a pious guy here. Just that music is in my head, and there's simple things on it that it's in my head. I just want to do the right thing, so I just want to quietly leave. Yeah, I gave it 2 weeks. He's like, is the only reason you're leaving because of the music? Yeah, pretty much. Okay. Well, we'll take the music out because we don't need that. Oh, man. I had lots of friends. I had one guy walk up to me. I was helping him. I walked to his side, and he goes, get out of here. I'm going to get a hitman to kill you. Just because of their music. Just because of their music. Well, that told me two things. Number one, that music is powerful, and that's their God. But number two, he's living for a different thing, right? So I went to the other side. And boy, I was like, man. So another time, we have the radio on, and they have this talk radio, and it was Man Cow, if you know what that is. I hope you don't, because it's not good. And it was vulgar, like worldly people should know not to listen to that. So I walked over and shut it off. Oh, man. I am not a brave man, okay? I like to get along with everybody. But I'm making a point with all of these illustrations. Boy, they're like, if you were in prison, we would beat you up. Well, we're not in prison, are we? But just that whole hatred. All I'm trying to do is do the right thing. And they hated me. I got my tire slashed. I go out to lunch, and I'm going to get in my car, and I heard, I saw the knife mark where they tried to slash it, and they couldn't, so they just slashed the stem. Why? Because they didn't like the donuts I brought? No, because I'm trying to do the right thing. And so to wrap it all up, one of those guys got saved.
Amen.
They were the one that said if we were in prison, they would beat you up. But he was the one on the inside that saw that there was a different way. There was something gnawing inside of him, something empty. That I said nothing, okay? I didn't preach at them. I just tried to do the right thing. And something was gnawing on the inside of him that he needed peace. He needed forgiveness and knew that our church and people like us, boy, we had something real. And he came, Darcel preached. Darcel preached on hell. And he came forward and got saved. I ran into the other guy that said he would hire a hitman to kill me, and I invited him to church. He goes, I knew you were going to ask me that. But he wasn't mad at me anymore. Want to know why? Because God made us spiritual beings. And there was an emptiness that wasn't filled that he knew we had. So the point here is, John the Baptist is speaking out. Even Herod, in his wickedness, is listening, and he knows truth. Because God made us spiritual beings. Herod, it says in verse 20, and when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. But then when it got to that one sin, that was it. All right, you preacher man. No, you're going to jail. Forget this. And probably, this is just Mike standing back and looking. Probably it was the woman. Because you see that part where he says, Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. It was probably the woman driving. Because Herod was listening. But living with that, for what, I don't know anything about Herodias except that she was part of the problem. But maybe Herod would have been different if he had had a different relationship there. But when we're looking at doing the right thing, sometimes we just have to do the right thing and let God sort it out.
Right.
Here is John the Baptist preaching. But you know what? John the Baptist is human, just like us, right? Sometimes we look at John the Baptist and we're like, oh yeah, that was the eccentric guy with camel's hair and ate locusts and honey and lived in the wilderness. He probably enjoyed preaching like that. Probably not like you think, right? John the Baptist was human. And so we find him. John spoke out against many sins. John learned quickly how hostile the world is to one who dares denounce its evils. Now, let me just say, I ran into some people, and maybe I don't need to say this, but just in case. I've met people that are obnoxious. Like, you know, as soon as they see, there's no compassion to say, this person knows nothing. And sometimes they start at the wrong place. All right? They need to learn the ABCs. And then God will help them grow. I mean, I'm not going to go into a house and start, I don't know, can't think of anything specific. I'm not going to walk in, you like the bus people, right? We go out and they know nothing, all right, about spiritual things. And they probably watch the wrong things on TV, and maybe they're living together. But they're not saved. And we have to give them time to come along and learn that once they see they're lost, everything else is going to fall into place. So we just love them and be patient, all right? But here is John just trying to... He's already before Herod preaching. And Herod's listening. So he keeps going, just, all right, he's going to listen to the truth. I'm going to keep giving him the truth. denouncing that sin put John into prison. But it also, we're going to look at it next week, eventually it caused him to be beheaded. But let's look at people. We kind of started there. People with a critical tongue, they accuse those who preach against sin of lacking love, respect, good sense, and other noble character traits. Right? A church like this one. Now, I went to some other churches while I was out, and I'm sure they're sincere people, probably saved, but there's something special about churches like here. And I'm not making it just us, four and no more. I have friends, I've been in their churches that I love their preaching. And when I come here, I want you to preach it. I want to get my toes stepped on. You don't have to skin me, but I'm coming here to get fed. I'm here to get challenged, right? And I went to some churches where it was some enthusiasm and some of the things were right, the Bible was right, but there wasn't any substance. And sometimes as a pastor follows God, he's going to do what God wants him to do, and he's going to preach against sin. And so people don't like that today, because doesn't the Bible say love one another? Well, love isn't not telling you the truth. It's actually the opposite. Sometimes we need to hear it, right? If the stove is hot, I might even have to yell at my kid, stop, before he burns himself. This isn't because I don't love him. I don't want him to get hurt. And, you know, we have the visitation time, and when we get to know people, it makes it easier to understand where preaching the pastor is coming from. But sometimes we get accused of lacking love. I have really just been meditating on the fact that hell is forever. I'm in Nashville, and I'm thinking about people that what if I was them? They're growing up, and they're driving their truck, and they're making money. And the guy I was with, he been married for 30 or 40 years, and has some things, and life seems to be going okay for him. But he's going to go to hell. And we tried to work things in, and we did get to talk a little bit. But just the fact that hell is forever. It's forever. I was thinking about a guy. He was very successful. I did some research on him, and he was a very successful man. Had some worlds in life. He wasn't your typical Hollywood star. He had a wife and kids and had a structured family. And he died in March. No, it was maybe before that. But it's only been less than 12 months. But that sort of resonated with me. For 12 months, he's been burning in hell. Because I read some things about what he believed about Christianity. He was actually a Jew. Didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. So he was a decent guy, and he's been in hell for the last 12 months. Doesn't that kind of bring it home a little bit? I mean, we talk about forever, but we're finite, so we don't. That's like, oh yeah, forever. But our brains can't wrap around that. But for the last 12 months, he's been burning. So as we're going around talking to people, I mean, there's many different people from many different backgrounds. We have to be patient. But we have to tell them the truth. Not telling them the truth is not love. We go to churches and you get, I like that church because, you know, they're nice. Or your TV preachers. They're usually very good speakers. And they're very very easy to listen to. But they're not telling anybody the truth. That's not love. It's not. So here's John. Let's go back to John. John the Baptist is preaching because he loves God. He loves God's word, and he loves people. He wants them to do the right thing. Sometimes people are going to get mad at that. They're going to attack you. Well, you know what? We have to do what God says. And we should do it in love. All of those accusations are usually a smokescreen to distract from the message and discredit the minister. People get in a rile like that. They don't want to really face the truth. Let's see here. In this way, the message will then not be given much validity, for after all, man is no good. One certainly is not inclined to believe his message. So basically, it's kind of like what's happening today. Let's just smear a good guy because we don't like him. It's not about truth or facts. It's we don't like the message, so let's smear the messenger. So let's go on. John was no respecter of persons. He wasn't out there to have a big crowd. He was just an honest preacher. And people that were seeking truth flocked to him. If we seek the truth, everybody's not going to come. You know what? That's okay. Because we're not here to draw a big crowd. We're here to do what God said. And I think if you do what God says, that's going to draw the right crowd. Because the people that are seeking are going to want to be in a Bible-believing church. Right? Everybody's not going to like it. He did not thunder forth God's holiness upon those who could not attack him. And then put a velvet speech when he spoke to men of power. He called it like it was. This is a rare trait in ministers. Too many ministers succumb to the temptation and go soft on the sins of high officials because they're in the congregation. Now, I've never been a pastor. I've helped, but I've never been in that spot. I'm sure that it's a temptation. So I'm not up here trying to poke anybody in the eye because I've never been in their shoes, but I'm glad I'm in a church where that's not happening. Our pastor is going to preach the truth regardless. Now, when he went to prison, this is a little more history here. The prison in which John was put was part of the palace complex Herod the Great built for himself. So Herod the Great, actually they say that he was buried in there, and they've tried to find the remains of his tomb. But he had many buildings. There's Herod's palace. And here he had a prison. And Herod, when Herod the Great died, we talked about this at the beginning, he divided up among his sons. And so we looked at the word tetrarch. So even though John was in prison, it wasn't like you think here, where it's a dungeon and nobody ever comes. They were allowed to have visitors. So even though John was in prison, people could come and he could be a witness. He could be a testimony to those people. We see Paul doing that. Paul and Silas were in jail, and the jailer got saved. No matter where you put Paul, boy, he was still letting his light shine, and all sorts of different people were getting saved, and maybe they wouldn't have if Paul hadn't been put in prison. But as far as John goes, he was able to see, because we'll look at that here in a minute, because people were able to come to him, and he was able to ask a question. Some things to look at about John's imprisonment. If we go through a hard time, sometimes, like we said before, bad things happen to good people. When bad things happen, it isn't because God has failed. Right. Sometimes we look at John and we're like, man, why didn't God just pull the plug and let that guy keep going? Well, God has a plan. And God has not failed. The Bible is clear that sometimes we're going to suffer now, but we can look forward to heaven. Mm-hmm. Right? We have a song in the South called The Best Is Yet to Come. Right? We have the blessings here on earth. When we have a church, we can fellowship. God takes care of our needs. God gives us material things. But you know what? When those bad things happen, it kind of makes heaven a little bit sweeter. Yes. Right? Because that's the perfect place. That's with God. And when we suffer now, that's God already promised that. If we're going to live godly, we're going to suffer persecution. Maybe we're not going to get thrown in prison, but there's going to be people that hate us. Like I explained, I was trying to do the right thing. John the Baptist was trying to do the right thing. There's going to be persecution if we're going to live godly. But the best is yet to come. Heaven is a perfect place. And we're all laying up treasures in heaven, I hope. John the Baptist did not fail. Even though John was publicly rejected as God's servant around the country, we see that he didn't kowtow. It was a sinful world, and John the Baptist was faithful to the end, and he was actually executed at the end. So now, lastly here, let's turn over to Matthew 11. This is kind of the second phase. This is very helpful, I think, in the day that we live. We see John doubts. He doubts. Was he doing the right thing? Matthew. I said Matthew. Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 6. When John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And then we go down to verse 6 here. We're going to read through verse 6. Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Here we have John. He's in prison, and now he's doubting. Jesus didn't come see me. I've been preaching and doing the right thing, and here I am. These people, I was just trying to preach to them, and they hate me. I'm in jail. I wonder if maybe I messed up. Circumstances here. Three things can be said about John's circumstances. We're just going to look at two of them for time's sake here. But depression, right? We hear about that today. And by the way, that's present among us as believers. I actually heard a guy, he didn't come out and say it, but I was like, whoa, the sword has a handle, brother. Just because it's true doesn't mean you get to swing it, right? Someone was talking about being depressed, and they were just sharing burdens. And He didn't come out and say it, but it was almost like, that's sinful. You're almost like you're a sinner because you're depressed. No. We're human. The devil will attack us. Circumstances will be weighed on our shoulders. It isn't. I'm not saying that's not a result of sin, maybe in our lives, or maybe it's a fruit of something that we've done. But depression is around us. I mean, recently, I don't want to say too much here, but recently we had somebody that we knew very close that was depressed and committed suicide. Saved person. So depression is very real. I'm not going to say that I'm an expert, but I can say this as a testimony. I've been depressed. I've been so low in my life that not that I wanted to commit suicide, but I said, God, I'm going to go to sleep, and if I wake up and I'm in heaven, that'd be great. Right? So we're shaking heads. So lots of us have been in that spot. All right? It wasn't necessarily a result. As I look back, it was just that I was overwhelmed with things. I was working midnights. I had some things that I was trying to work through. And I was reading my Bible and praying and going to church and going soul winning. But just got to that place, you know, physically, we can just drain ourselves, right? And it may be not that we're doing something sinful. I was working 70 hours every 8 days. I was running out of hours as a truck driver. And so physically, you know, your brain, you're not sharp. When did Jesus get tempted after 40 days of fasting? Think the devil's stupid? No, he's pretty clever. He came to Jesus at that time because Jesus was at a low point. Now we see Jesus handling it correctly, perfectly, because he's the perfect one. And I think that's there for an example for us. Yes. Jesus was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. Right? Jesus knows what you're going through. I'm lonely. You think Jesus was lonely? He was on the cross by himself. Right? He died. His disciples fled. You think Paul was lonely? Yeah. Remember that one time? Only Luke is with me. Right? It's not sinful to find yourself in a low spot in your life. It's how we respond to those things. And so here's John the Baptist. And you might say, man, John the Baptist, the preacher, didn't know if he was the real Messiah. Yeah, because he was just like us. Right? These bad things. He was trying to do the right thing and something bad happened to him. Depression. It's extremely difficult to keep a consistent positive attitude in oppressing circumstances. And John was certainly in oppressive circumstances at the time of his doubting experience. He was in bonds in a cruel prison, and he was the victim of injustice. Here he is. So if God deals us that hand, God wants to teach us something.
Yes, amen.
And when we find ourselves in those positions, I had a friend that kind of didn't do some right things. But, you know, as Christians, that's the blessing. God has mercy. As Christians, we have a church with people that care, that can pray for us. As Christians, we have a pastor, right? That's one of his jobs is to be the overseer, the caretaker, right? When we go through things, who's the one that shows up? If he's there, it's the pastor, right? And other friends. But my friend, we used to sing specials together. As things got worse, he was in church less. And I even went to my pastor. I said, I don't understand that. The harder it gets, the more you think you'd be in church. Because you'd be wanting to get fed. You'd be wanted around strong Christians. Because I'm weak. I'm low. Ecclesiastes said, when I fall down, the other will lift up his fellow. I would want, even if I'm the knucklehead doing it, I would think I would want to be around good people so that they could keep my head straight. Right? Because, boy, you can get the Eeyore complex when everything is bad. And then when it gets bad, other things happen. And instead of looking at that situation different, yep, here it comes. Here comes more. Let's add one more. I know what's going to happen when I get to work. I'm going to get fired. You know, and now you're in the Eeyore stage. And you're depressed. And that's not where God wants you to be. That's the wrong response. So John the Baptist, we find him depressed. He's doubting, right? He's doubting. Here we have John the Baptist doubting. But look at what, that's number two. What did John the Baptist do when he doubted? He went and found out. He didn't just take it and say, yep, that's probably not true. No, he sent people. We see that in verse verse 2 says, "Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Are you really Jesus? I'm in here suffering. I just want to make sure it's the right thing. And so we have him depressed. We have him doubting. But we've got to wrap this up fast. We've got lots of notes. We'll just hop through here. The remedy for doubting. We learn from John's experience what we should do when we are hit with an attack of doubt. Number one, address your doubts and take action against them. Most want to stay in the pitiful state of doubting because it's the easier thing to do. I mean, we're doubting, we're low. Oh, goody, I'm going to go read the Bible and it'll probably tell me I'm doing wrong. Right? It's kind of human nature. But that's not what we should do. I've actually been in those spots where I'm afraid to read the Bible because I'm in this suffering spot. And you know, and then you go read it and you're like, oh, that was good. God's trying, this is supposed to happen. This isn't bad. Or one time I went to go get some counsel. I'm like, boy, this is going to be crazy. And I go in and I walk out like, oh, that was easy. The answer to that was real simple. Boy, I've just been playing my violin to myself in the corner for no reason. This is a real simple answer. All right, I'm going to go work on that. A wise man once told me, when life gets chaotic, always go back to the basics. Yep. Real Bible reading, real prayer, real soul winning. Just be genuine. Don't try to take care of everything. Life gets complex. When it gets chaotic, go back to the basics. Focus on the ABCs. Okay, I know I'm supposed to read my Bible. I know I'm supposed to pray. I know I'm supposed to be in church. Go back to that, and God will help you along. It'll be wonderful. And I'm speaking from experience. It is not a wise man who honors his doubts. He who does that does not help anyone. Right? Sometimes you get those people, how you doing? Well, let me tell you. Oh, man, that was just a cliche. Right? Right? It's okay to share your burdens in a circle. Right? Everybody doesn't have to know every detail. But number two, so the first thing is you address your doubts, take action against them. Number two, the person to see. All right? John knew the right place. What did he do? Go see the Messiah and make sure. Go to Christ. God, it isn't wrong to go seek out a godly friend, but God's bigger than that and has all the answers.
Right.
We have a pastor to help us. It's more of a safety net. God will tell you. You go to God's Word and you read it. God will show you. And maybe He'll show you through preaching or maybe the pastor. Or I had one time where I was going through a situation and I was just beyond myself. And I went and I sought out a godly friend. And it was God. I mean, that I don't have time to tell you the whole story. But I ended up at a place and he ended up at a place. And he shouldn't have been there. And I asked him a question and he showed me a Bible verse. He said, yeah, I've been dealing with that. Here you go. And it was like a giant glass of water. All right, God, I didn't know what to do. And God put a friend in my way to point me the right way. But the person to see first is Christ. Jesus pointed John to some proofs of his authenticity. Right? When you look around, sometimes you're like, man, I don't know, this is kind of hard. But think about the peace. There's the peace that passes all understanding. Do I know all the answers? I don't. But boy, all of the things that are important to me, God's answered them. I come to church and I get a message. I'll be here on a Thursday night. Oh, I'm so tired. Man, I don't know. I know I'm supposed to be in church. And boom, that message might not even be exciting or enthusiasm or great, but it was God answered this, and then God answered this, and God fed me because I was in His way. We need to, when we have doubt, we need to take care of it. Lastly, in conclusion here, we just have five things to wrap up here. When we consider the suffering and doubting of John the Baptist, it does some important things for us. Number one, it gives us courage to face trials. If we're going to live the Christian life and grow, we're going to face trials. John the Baptist was this man of God, and he went through these low times, and God helped him. We can understand that as Christians and as humans, we're going to have our ups and downs. looking at the life of John the Baptist and even the life of Christ, we can have the courage to face trials. We're going to have them, so let's go through them. Let's go through them together. Let's, Pastor says, pray for one another. Boy, I appreciate that, a reminder, because it's so easy to get busy. But then we come on Thursday nights and we're sharing our burdens together. We're all going through some things. It gives us courage to face trials when we look at this. Number two, it gives us the courage to preach no matter what the results. Sometimes we're out in, boy, this wicked world, and sometimes you might get somebody that swears at you for being on their porch. But you know what? That's what God said to do. Go out there and love people. And if they don't want to receive it, what else are you supposed to do? So you go to the next one. But John the Baptist didn't pull any punches. He went and he preached the word of God. It got him landed in prison. But think about what John the Baptist is doing right now. He's rejoicing. He's going to have rewards at the judgment seat. He's going to have a good time in heaven. Number three, example of how to suffer faithfully. We're going to suffer. God said, if you live godly, you're going to suffer. But let's do it faithfully. Number four, God uses men who have faults. There you go. That was for me. God, I don't do everything right. I kind of struggle sometimes, trying to keep everything where it's supposed to be. But God still uses men who have faults. Here's John the Baptist, and God still used him. And then lastly, it encourages us not to doubt God's dealings in our lives. Here's John the Baptist doing everything he's supposed to, and this thing happens to him. Hey, God was in control. I don't know why things happen. I'm just Mike the truck driver, here to help out, teach Sunday school. But I do know that God is good and he has a plan for everything that he does. We can trust in the good one. All right, let's make sure that we stay faithful. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your bigness, God, and your goodness, the blessings in our lives. Thank you for our church, God, where we can grow and grow together. And we ask that you would help each one of us as we take the next step in our Christian lives, that you would help us with that. In Jesus' name, amen. Good.